Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Hallow Thanksgiving Show. Yes, once again, we have entered that time between Columbus Day and the returns and exchanges in January when we turn our thoughts to dead people, pilgrims, and Santa Claus.
And people's births.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, well, I mean, depending on your religious persuasion, there's a lot of things going on there. Pro football, pilgrims, I don't know.
Nobody celebrates pro football.
This is it's a huge mess. You got to say, it's just a huge mess.
And it's a time of year, clearly, you love.
There's a lot of spending going on. People dress up and eat turkey, you know. What's not to
dress up?
Yeah, they dress up as.
Oh, you're talking about Halloween.
During the season, yeah, you might dress up as Halloween. You might dress up as a sexy nurse. I'm
Tony.
Oh my gosh!
What
I just got a vision.
On earth are you doing? And why would you? Never mind.
Thanks to our listeners of True Talk Internet Radio, our guest for today's show, Shelly Irving, physician assistant, assistant professor at the UK Physician Assistant Studies Program. Welcome to the show, Shelly.
Thank you.
And my co-medical host to explain to you once again how to access Health Matters on the Wild World of Web from the University of Kentucky, Manager of Communications Infrastructure, Rick Phillips. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tony. You know, you can get the audio of the show, like we say every week. Moorhead State Public Radio has a website, wmky.org. Navigate that menu structure. Find your way to Health Matters. Look at the list of shows there. Find the one you like. We know you're going to like them all. We're sorry for you in advance. Click on the link and listen to the audio. Queue them up. Put 3, 4, 5 hours in the queue and just get all your work done because it will not stop you from doing what you want to do.
That's right.
After you've listened to the show, after you've shared that audio link with all those family members and friends or enemies, however you look at it, jump over to Facebook, interact with the show, facebook.com/HM Radio Show. That's right. That is our fan page. We did not name it that. That is what Facebook calls it because, you know, we don't pay attention to things like that. We just want to give you a way to interact with us. There you can leave us messages, leave us notes, tell us what you like, tell us what you didn't like, suggest show topics, maybe get some clarification on some really bad research we presented. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do to interact with us, and we do respond, so your comments will not go unnoticed. But again, it gives you the ability to interact with Health Matters. We've got lots of listeners that do that, so certainly jump out there and see what you can find at facebook.com/HM Radio Show.
Our sponsor for today's show, the Vaccination League, once again reminding you it is time for your fall influenza vaccine, the Vaccination League. Reminding you, vaccines are the all-natural way to combat those toxic virus and bacterial infections without using harsh chemical vitamins or antibiotics. Vaccination like Mother Nature with a 23-gauge needle. Our sponsor this time talking about influenza vaccine. And we are reminding you, the CDC recommends everyone age 6 months or older receive a flu shot by the end of October if possible. You may remember on our last show we discussed the fact that Health Matters does not recommend the vaccine in September, but you need to have it in your system a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving. That's when the flu gets serious. There is sporadic flu influenza activity already in the state of Kentucky. Second thing, only the injectable vaccines are available this year. The flu, nasal spray, flu mist, the CDC is not recommending this. There were some problems with it. It did not seem to be particularly effective. The company is trying to publish research which refutes that. They may have to reformulate. They may have to go back to the drawing board, but the CDC is putting a hold on flu mist nasal spray until they figure that out. Fun fact number 3, there are trivalent and quadrivalent vaccines. That is a 3-strain of flu vaccine, a 4-strain of flu vaccine. The CDC does not recommend one over the other. The companies will tell you 4 is better than 3. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. They have not yet proved it. The CDC says any vaccine you can get. And we've talked about this. I roll up my sleeve, I say, I don't ask them what it is. And perhaps I should ask them what it is, but I don't. I say, I want that flu vaccine, and I don't specify what brand or what valence or anything else about it. I just know that I need to get that. Now, I'm less than 65 years old. I think I'm going to get more particular as I get older. I have about everything else. I don't see why I wouldn't about the flu vaccine.
You're a pretty religious flu vaccine guy. You've taken it for probably the last, 20 years?
I took it before the job required it. Now, if you work in a hospital, you are required to get it to protect your patients. I got it every year to protect myself and my family. That's the way I felt. I really, really like the flu vaccine. I mean, as much as you can like a vaccine, I think it's a good thing. Fun fact number four, the three-valent injectable vaccines are manufactured using eggs. That's right. They grow the flu vaccine in eggs. Isn't that ridiculous in this day and age? Shouldn't it be nanoparticles in a laser-driven fusion environment? No. Eggs, just eggs. If you're allergic to eggs, that can be a problem. It also takes a long time to change the flu vaccine because we got to get a new batch of eggs. Fun fact number five, there is a high dose, Fluzone high dose. Fluzone high dose. It sounds almost like Fluzy high dose, but Fluzone high dose, four times the amount of antigen just for those of us over age 65. Our immune systems seem to forget very quickly what the flu virus looks like. Don't know where that comes from, but it happens. And so you can get Fluzone high dose, four times the amount of antigen, a better response in people over age 65. You young whippersnappers on the other side of the radio there, you can get the regular one. You will do just fine. We'll stop there. We'll pick up in our second fractional portion our sponsor, the Vaccination League. It is time. It is time. It is time for your fall flu vaccination. Rick?
Yes?
Pokemon. Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Do we have to talk about this more? Have we not had enough of this summer?
What a mess.
Did you have to deal with any of it at all?
No, thankfully. I did. Well, I will tell you, my students were, when we did orientation for the year, the students were actually that day before they came to their orientation, they'd been chasing around the Moorhead trying to find the character.
The whole Pokemon Go thing, while I have been a fan of virtual reality, this thing has caused us to think about games just in a weird way, right? It's privacy laws have come into question, people getting hit because they won't look up. Now, I always knew that, we can get too attached to our mobile devices. Now we're getting hit by cars.
Right.
It's just crazy.
For those of you not aware of this, Pokemon Go, an augmented reality game. People use their smartphones to look for digital creatures that are at certain geographic locations. You drive or walk to a location. Your phone shows you a character. You capture that character. Then you go to a gym and battle with other people's Pokemon characters. And again, these locations are set by the company. Hospitals have had to ban people from doing it while they are in the hospital because people come through the hospital looking for these characters. Rick, I know a lot of people thought they were a strain on the system. You've told me before the UK system doesn't even notice.
The entire bandwidth needed to service the Pokemon Go game on the UK network would work through my home DSL.
Yeah.
I mean, it's minuscule, and the Pokemon Go is not a technology problem, okay? So a lot of people want to equate the security and technology and throughput and clogging up the pipes, so to speak, but that's just not it. What it is it's a public safety issue. It's making sure you don't drive your car over a player. And, it gives a whole new... You've heard people joke over the years about, getting points when they're driving down the road. I mean, it gives a whole new meaning to that game. I mean, because everybody has to be vigilant to make sure that they don't run over. And not that I don't, love the student environment. I think the campuses are just wonderful places, but students are already a little bit irreverent, maybe. They don't really pay attention to they're pedestrians at all costs, and they'll walk out in front of traffic already. Now, you throw the game in it, and they lose complete perception as to where they are. And not everybody is an observant driver. And so I'm just surprised we haven't seen more issues.
John Ayers, professor of public health at San Diego State University, monitored Twitter for a 10-day period in July. Got 4,000 tweets during those 10 days to figure out what people were doing with Pokemon. He text scanned them for Pokemon driving, drives, driver, car, to see what was happening in the interaction of Pokemon and car. They were able to find tweets regarding 14 car crashes during the 10-day period. One player drove his car into a tree while playing. They had drivers slamming on the brakes to jump out in traffic traffic and catch one. That's the thing. If you see one in your car, you've got to jump and run after it to catch it, right? I mean, I don't know this, but that's what you do. Now, Shelly, you've been very quiet, except you show me an icon on your phone. You play Pokemon Go.
I don't play Pokemon Go, but I have a son that plays Pokemon Go.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, does he
we
make
you?
Does he make you stop the car so he can go catch it?
I don't stop the car for Pokemon.
Okay.
I just run right over him.
So you got that bumper sticker. I break for Pokemon. You don't have one of those, huh?
No, okay. No.
All right. So does he play? Do you assist him in any way with playing, or is he entirely on his own when he wants to play this?
He's supervised.
Okay, got it. So you're sitting there, saying you're trying to keep him from running out in traffic to catch one of these characters.
Yes.
A third of the tweets indicated a driver, passenger, or pedestrian was distracted. Near, if you extrapolated that to the U.S. population in general, that'd be over 100,000 incidences reported on Twitter in 10 days. About 18%, they were playing and driving. 11%, passenger was playing. 4% pedestrian was distracted and had an interaction with traffic, almost got hit by a car, and so forth. Now, supposedly, the Pokemon Go is restricted at speeds greater than 10 miles an hour. But again, if you're in a crowded area, such as UK's campus or downtown, 10 miles an hour is plenty enough to plow into someone. The other thing is, you can bypass that. You can fix it so that you can still play while driving at higher speeds.
Or somebody can, you know, text you or tweet you, or you know, you can figure it out, and then next thing you know, you're racing to get there.
Right.
It just asks you if you're a pedestrian or if you're a passenger in a car, if you're going too fast, and you just tap yes or no.
Oh, so disable is not really much of a word. You just basically answer
no.
The question.
Yep.
Okay. Game and Phone Makers says, Ayers, should disable Pokemon Go and augmented reality games at driving speed and for a period after driving speed so the player doesn't play at red lights. They should disable the game near roadways and parking lots. You know, I'll be honest with you. This promotes people getting outside and doing things. I think the problem is the people playing Pokemon Go. Again, how old is your son?
He's 7.
Yeah, so a 7-year-old kid, I don't think that you're really worried about him not being physically active enough, and Pokemon Go is the answer to his physical activity problem. And so, and my way of thinking, and the problem is, this is going to happen again and again. This was the Pong of augmented reality. Wait till you see a bunch of people with these glasses on where they see nothing but virtual reality, kind of blundering around in real space and getting into serious trouble. I you know, this is just the beginning.
No, it isn't.
You think this is going to end? Pokemon Go, it does.
This show should air on October 1st, right? So we're in our, 10th month of the year. Starting our 10th month. When we do our year-end show in January, Pokemon Go will be, it won't be gone, but it'll be in our rearview mirror.
I agree, but I think there'll be another one.
No, there won't.
You think Pokemon Go is the last augmented reality show?
No, I just don't. I think like all fads, this thing's going to go away, and I think there's going to be something else that comes out with the augmented reality that may not necessarily be a search tool, may not be a treasure hunt or a hide-and-seek. It's going to be something different. It's going to be something better.
Well, I will give you that nobody's really talking about the games now.
Right.
You know, are you still using yours?
What? Which game?
The one with the wand.
No, I mean, I have virtual reality headset, but, you know,
I haven't used it in months. You don't play Tennis or Dance Revolution or anything like that?
No, that's been out for a long time.
Speaking of out for a long time, we're out of time. You've been listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio. Stay tuned for our second fractional portion.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. We only found 3 Pokemon Go's during that break. This is the second fraction portion, and I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Hallow Thanksgiving Show. Once again, decorations have been sighted. Christmas decorations have been sighted in Walmart.
I think you bought some. No. I could have swore I saw some. I saw you coming out of Walmart with some.
My wife is not a big Walmart fan.
I didn't say your wife.
This is from one of the nurses, a reliable source.
There's some red and green glitter on your shoulder.
Okay, you caught me. I am full of the festive holiday season. I've already decorated our pumpkins for Christmas.
Your pumpkin has a red and white hat.
That's right. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Skeleton.
You know, it does say a lot about the fact that it is just now getting started, right? It's October, not even October.
I think it's a measure of desperation from retailers, but we've got to recognize it. I'm feeling optimistic about the Halothanxis. We put Halothanxis away for several years because a lot of the excesses we saw before 2008 just didn't happen. But I think it's back, and I can sense now it's going to be a marketing extravaganza. I expect Christmas specials to air probably before we even get this show on the air. Our sponsor for the second time, the Vaccination League, reminding you, don't be late. Vaccinate. Vaccination, the all-natural way to take care of viral and bacterial illnesses without using harsh antibiotics and vitamins. That's right, vaccination like Mother Nature with a 23-gauge needle. The CDC recommendations, everyone age 6 or older receive influenza vaccine. Only injectables this year. The flu mist is not recommended by the CDC. They have trivalent, 3 strains of flu, quadrivalent, 4 strains of flu. It doesn't appear that one is clearly superior to the other. You can use either one. Most of them are grown in eggs, and that is a problem. And there is a high-dose vaccine called Fluzone High-Dose for people over age 65, has 4 times the amount of antigen, which should stimulate your immune system and keep you safe through the influenza season. Something to think about if you're over age 65. Now we're up to fun fact number 6. Flu Block is egg-free, approved for people ages 18 and older. If you have a severe egg allergy, you might consider that. If you have a mild egg allergy, it's probably okay to use any of the products. New this season, Fluad. It has an adjuvant. We talked about this last show. MF59, an oil in water emulsion of squalene oil. The idea is to, in some way, boost the immune response. I will be honest, I don't know much about this. It was reported to be 63% more effective than regular dose with this adjuvant. I am not an early adapter of these things. My personal recommendation to our Health Matters Radio fan, I think I would hold off on Fluad this season. Let's see what happens with it. But if you are the kind of person that is very adventurous in your vaccination practices, I don't know what that means, but if you're that person, then you might consider Fluad with the adjuvant, the squalene oil. Fun fact number 8, quadrivalent influenza vaccines are available. They're 4 of those. There's also Fluzone Intradermal. That is, instead of going straight down into the muscle, you can get a shallower injection just under the skin, available for people ages 18 through 64, not for senior citizens or small kids. There is a Flucelvax, which is grown in cell culture instead of eggs. If you have a severe egg allergy, that's something to think about. As we mentioned before, people with mild egg allergies can receive any licensed product. Severe egg allergies should be given in a healthcare provider setting where people can respond if you have an allergic reaction. In my opinion, when you get the flu vaccine, you ought to be in a place where if you did have an allergic reaction, you could respond quickly. I don't like drive-through vaccinations. And then fun fact number 11, the last one, if you're under age 9 and it is your first year getting the flu vaccine, you will need 2 doses, not 1 dose if you were just starting off. That is our sponsor, Vaccination League. Don't be late. Vaccinate. It is time for the fall influenza virus. You're still wearing your activity tracker, Rick.
Yep.
How many steps so far during the show?
None.
None. Okay. It's accurate. That's a good thing. You might want... I'm sorry. Just messing with you.
I got one more step than you have, or at least I'm going to have.
Oh, okay. You got to protect me, Shelly. I'm afraid that one step's going to be in my direction.
Yeah, I know now why I'm in the middle.
Yeah, that's right. A little bit of a buffer zone there. Lead author John Jakisic, University of Pittsburgh. They looked at 471 people in the Pittsburgh area, and that's a problem because they were Pittsburghers, 18 to 35 years old, overweight to moderately obese. This group met weekly for sessions to monitor their weight, to talk about diet and exercise strategies. Over the following year and a half, they met monthly. Then they had monthly phone calls and weekly texts with counselors. They were trying to get them to lose weight. They were prescribed 100 to 300 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical exercise. After 6 months, half of them monitor their diet and physical activity on a website. The other half got Body Media Fit Core, a wearable activity tracker worn on the upper arm, costs $100, tracks your steps, your hours slept, and your calories burned. After 2 years wearing the Body Media Fit Core, they lost 7.7 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. The ones who didn't wear it lost 13 pounds.
Okay.
People who use a wearable activity tracker lost 5.25 pounds less than the group who used a website. Now, according to Gary Miller of Wake Forest, commenting on this, he said, well, that doesn't mean the activity trackers don't work, to which Dr. Tony Weaver said, yes, it does. You know, the problem is you've got numbers, but I will tell you, you know, whether it's your cholesterol or whether it's the number of steps you take, having numbers is not the same as doing something about it. I think there is a key step there. Most people say, well, if I'm monitoring it, I'm going to pay more attention and I'm going to do better. At least this study, 471 people over a year and a half, this was a pretty darn good study, showed that actually you don't. Now, I don't know why they lost less. I worry that you'll say, oh, gee, I've hit my 10,000 steps. I guess I don't need to exercise. Whereas the other people who don't know their steps said, so, I guess I need to exercise. I don't know.
So, Tony, did you not, like, fundamentally go back to the drawing board and ask, why do people wear activity trackers? Do they wear them only to lose weight?
Oh, so you're saying it doesn't matter whether it works or not.
Yeah. Well, no. No, I'm totally serious. Only a percentage of people wear activity trackers to lose weight.
You think?
I'm saying the people that actually don't need to lose weight wear them.
Right. And
how come they aren't? Did we not put the people who don't need to use a website?
No.
The people who use the website had to lose weight. I'm serious. Don't think about that.
No,
okay. But it makes perfect sense. I mean, try to flip it around. Fundamentally, everybody who wears an activity tracker isn't trying to lose weight. Everybody who goes to a website to lose weight is trying to lose weight.
But these people in the study all were at the start. That's the thing. They randomized them to the website of the activity tracker. They didn't select activity tracker people. Your point is well taken. An activity tracker can do some stuff. If your goal is 10,000 steps, it will help you get to 10,000 steps.
Telling me I sleep good doesn't mean that it makes me lose weight. It tells me I sleep good.
Right. My question is, the fact that you've been told that you sleep good, does that in fact improve your health?
I don't know, but I sleep better. Is the activity tracker about... Is it really, am I wearing it, or am I just trying to get an understanding of what I do?
Maybe, but, or is it diverting your attention from what you should do?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because you know, saying, you can. I've been wearing an activity tracker for a year and a half.
Right.
I've been in weight loss mode for 3 months.
Right.
So I, that, you know.
Are you using the activity tracker to,
absolutely,
in some way help you with your weight loss?
I got 13,000 steps in yesterday.
Yeah, but are you using it to help you with your weight loss?
Well.
Not really.
I know the days that I don't do as much, and I know those are days I shouldn't eat as much.
You know that anyway, I would argue.
Well, yeah, it's usually work days versus weekends.
Yeah, I know. See, here's the thing. I'm forcing Rick into a corner. I'm arguing against technology, which fundamentally is
I'm sorry, but I last time I checked, a website was technology.
Well, the website was their control. You could argue that the point is that having a
$100 who doesn't
device,
do anything and just says, I need to lose weight. But they don't do anything. They don't go. They don't use any tech. They just don't eat.
Right. I think, and it may work, and it may help with other things.
You can't come at a tech guy saying tech's bad. You can't do it. You know you're going to get a backlash.
If you're going to buy tech, though, I think it has to be proven to be good. Not that, well, maybe they didn't study the right thing. They didn't have the right people. That might be so. But I'm just saying, okay, I think just like taking a pill every day, a hormone pill, a vitamin pill, whatever. I think if you're going to invest the money, you got to show it's good. You got to go more than just show that that it's not bad. And I think right now, tech is still unproven as good. And I can tell you circumstance after circumstance where giving people data doesn't necessarily change behaviors. And you know that. I mean, there are several sides to this. I think it's just a reminder
But I do think, Tony, that I think that there was a time where only my wife said, you know, you really should go do some exercise. Now both my wife and my phone do that. I mean, there's got to be something to that.
At some point.
Right?
Yeah, right. And the thing is, you're going to get extra steps because you don't really want your phone next to you anymore because it's so annoying.
I mean, exactly. I mean, at some point, I'm going to get the hint that both of the things that I love the most on this planet tell me I don't need to do something.
Well,
okay. But I'm just saying, to me, sometimes these studies, I mean, you know, the other thing, too, is they probably took 400 people who may not wanted to wear the tracker.
Well, they certainly, might wear it, but you're right. These were people that apparently had not, and I'm looking at a summary of the study, but I'm pretty sure those people had not bought one before.
Well, and so are you saying, if I want to go drop, say, $150 on a good activity tracker, the odds are I probably want to use it.
Right.
And so it's probably going to make me more productive when I'm doing. But if I just take somebody who wants to lose weight and say, oh, you use this method and you use that method, that's not, to me, doesn't strike me as a good way.
Right. I understand that. If I want to increase my physical activity, I have everything in my garage except a kayak, then buying me a kayak is probably not going to work because that obviously was
exactly
the last thing that I wanted to do.
Right.
Okay. I see that point. I think, though, it's really tempting. You think, well, this is going to help people. We'll give them those numbers. And time and time again, we've seen numbers do not necessarily translate into a change of behavior.
I disagree. I think if you want the numbers, then you know what you need to do. Now, whether you have the willpower or not, that's different. I can have something on my phone say, Rick, you don't like chocolate cake. Rick, you don't like chocolate cake. Rick, you don't like chocolate cake. Guess what? Rick likes chocolate cake.
And if you track the number of bites of chocolate cake, would that help you in any way?
Yeah. I can tell
I don't
you.
Think
it's
so.
Actually,
I think you're going to turn the phone off.
It's 46 per. It's 46 per sitting. I mean, you know, no. Tony, I'm just saying that, you know, there's certain things that the tech can do, and there's certain things it can't. But if I'm interested in knowing it, then that's on me.
An Oreo.
It's not the tech.
All right. What if I bought an Oreo counter? That would unfortunately just tell me
how many are in a bag.
Total Oreos.
How many
I have
are in a bag?
My house.
Let's just get to the end of it.
One serving size of Oreos is however many I have in my house.
All I'm saying is I am not ready. Now, I will beat up on e-cigarettes. I will beat up on all kinds of things that are supposed to be better and healthier. I'm not going to beat up on activity trackers because, you know what? We need to know what we're doing. We need to know. And for the people who want to know, that's valuable.
What are you doing, Shelly? Do you have anybody in your family using a fitness tracker?
No, I have a really old school pedometer.
Oh, she
the original
thing. It clips to your belt, right?
Yeah.
And do you take note of the readings on that thing? I mean, it looks like it. You got it turned on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you're a 10,000. Is that what you look at? A 10,000 a day person?
If I can make it to 10,000 a day.
Yeah. It's. I will tell you, and you know this well, doing house calls is a lot of driving time, not a lot of walking time. We don't do it for the exercise. That'd be
right.
The best way to put it. All right. So we don't buy, I think we're all agreed that even despite Rick, we're not going to buy a fitness tracker. There seems to be no purpose to that. I've got something, Rick. This is what you need. This is right here. This is going to be
high. It's funny you mention that because I'm actually in the market for another one.
Well, I will tell you where you need to spend your money and you'll be surprised.
On a scale?
It's Amish house dust. Write this down. There is going to be a huge market in Amish house dust.
You go ahead and invest in that.
All right.
I'll follow your lead after
New
you get into
England
it.
New England Journal of Medicine. This was September 16, 2016. They looked at immunity and asthma risk in Amish and Hutterite farm children. Now, here's what you need to know. First of all, we all know that we now realize that there's something called the hygiene hypothesis. The cleaner our houses are, the more allergies we get because our immune system has nothing to do. It doesn't have to kill germs. It doesn't have to fight for our lives. So
it just doesn't have an activity tracker.
Making thank you, allergies and asthma. But we're not really sure. So what they did, this was in my mind genius the way they had it set up. A guy named Stein, they looked at an Amish community in Indiana and a Hutterite community in South Dakota. Now, these are isolated farming communities. Genetically, environmentally, they do the same thing, except Amish practice traditional farming on a single-family farm. Hutterite farms, highly industrialized, basically community farms. Now, asthma rates in the Hutterites, 21%, and the Amish, 5%. We already knew that the Amish had a much lower rate of asthma than the Hutterites did. So they looked, once again, at asthma. They found none of their 30 Amish children that they looked at had asthma. Six of the Hutterite children did. That's 20% of all of them. The Amish children had lower, there's some lab tests. They had, for those of you who follow lab tests, immunoglobulin E, which is an allergic type of immunoglobulin, lower total in the Amish kids, lower eosinophils, that's an allergy cell in your immune system. Even though they had, obviously, they're both farm kids, they're going to have similar exposures there. Amish children had higher white blood cell counts. They lived in houses with much more allergy toxins, nearly seven times higher than those in the Hutterites. Now, here is the key. This is what you need to know. A pooled dust sample identified differences in bacterial profiles in the Amish houses versus the Hutterite houses. They took that dust and they used a what they called a mouse model. They put that back to the lab to see if it would induce allergic asthma. Hutterite dust did not protect against inflammation. Amish dust protected against airway hyperresponsiveness, airway irritation, and immune response. Amish dust, I mean, you could go be Amish, but my gosh, I'm pretty sure none of our listeners are right now Amish. Just thinking about Amish radio fans. If you're an Amish radio fan, please hit our Facebook page. We'd like to know. But I bet nobody's Amish. You could live on an Amish farm. You could stop spraying your kitchen with
disinfectant sprays. I've seen Amish driving trucks now. It's not uncommon to see them in technology, so that's very possible. They're listening to your show right now, and you should feel terrible.
All right, if they hit the Facebook page, that's fine. I got to tell you, I go up to Flemingsburg. There is a nursery, an Amish nursery. We buy our stuff there because it's a really nice place.
They make good stuff.
There is a woman at this Amish nursery that if you want topsoil or mulch, she hops on a loader, and she goes out, and she will load your pickup truck, and she is very, very good at running that front end.
Better than you could do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I haven't run one of those in a long time. But she won't scratch your truck or anything. She's really good at it. But you think about this Amish house dust. The thing is, I think it is they looked at the house dust because Amish have more germs in their houses. Maybe if the Amish swept their house out, it wouldn't work. I don't know. But their point was, in those highly industrialized farms, they don't track as much stuff in. In a traditional family farm, you're out with the chickens, you're out with the animals, you come in the house. The whole house has a different bacterial composition.
See, that's weird because I would have thought that I once heard a statistic that you know, dust in a house is made up predominantly of there's a lot of things, but there's also a lot of dead skin, right?
Yes.
And so that's coming off of them personally. I don't know. It just seems...
But they have a different bacteria growing on that dust. Those dead skin cells will grow bacteria. And so they have a different bacteria. So that Amish house dust. Now, again, you know how we do. We take a good idea like a diet high in vegetables, and we decide we're going to take a pill, a vegetable pill.
You mean like fish oil?
Yeah, that sort of thing. I don't want to eat fish. They're fishy. So I'll just have a fish oil capsule, and I'll eat a cheeseburger. Well, in the same way, I bet you're going to see Amish house dust.
So it's going to give a whole new meaning to dust in your house.
Right. You will. I don't know what you do with it. I don't know how they're going
to
expose
you. You have to spread it out
in
your house.
I'm absolutely certain that for $19.99, you can get some authentic, certified Amish house dust.
And you're going to put it in a blower, and you're going to blow it through your
house. Just blow the house dust.
You'll probably be able to buy it aerosolized, and you'll be able to walk through the house and spray it in your house.
Amish house dust spray. You know, forget the Lysol. You're not trying to kill germs.
Unscented.
You're trying to spread germs in your house, the right kind of germs that will keep your kids from getting asthma. There you go. We've solved this right here on Health Matters. This is real research in the New England Journal of Medicine. The point is, again, you got to let your kids play in the dirt. You don't want to keep them too clean. And Amish house dust is the way we prove that. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned for our next fractional portion.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver, with us also from the University of Kentucky, physician assistant and assistant professor in the Physician Assistant Studies program, Shelley Irving. Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
Our sponsor for the final time, the Vaccination League, reminding you, don't be late. Vaccinate. It is time to get your fall flu vaccine. Health Matters, we feel that September is a bit early. It was, in some ways, a concession to pharmacies who were trying to get the vaccination out. We certainly want everyone to be vaccinated. However, if you have a choice, the ideal time, we feel, is October. Certainly, you should be at least 2 weeks before Thanksgiving to get your flu vaccine because you want to be ready for all those flu-related incidents you may run into when the family descends for the Halloween, for the Hallowthanksmas meals and parties and so forth that are going on. You know, I'm still haunted, I got to tell you, by two things. One is I conjured up Rick in the sexy nurse outfit, and that bothered me. I had to go outside, and I threw up, and I feel better now. The other thing I will tell you, Rick, I lost a lot of sleep one weekend. I walked into Lowe's. I was going to buy, as always, some
How do you normally go into Lowe's?
Bolt that I did. Here's the thing. Right there in Lowe's, in the front of Lowe's, there was a display, and it said it was a life-sized ghost. How big? How big is a life-size? I don't know what a life-size ghost is. That just, you know, I just started thinking about what would be a life-size ghost?
How big of a ghost would it take to scare you?
Do you think you would be the size of the ghost man?
I think if I had a real ghost that was real, it wouldn't have to be more than a foot tall, and you'd be on the ceiling crying like a baby. But you'd have to beat me up there because I'd be up there first.
Well, at any rate, I am scared of viruses. That's why I get my flu vaccine. So apparently size really doesn't matter when it comes to scaring you. Meanwhile, I've got some other things to disturb you about. How about, let's say, Rick, you are constipated. Let's just say that. Let's say you have severe functional constipation, which is defined as unable to have a complete bowel movement more than twice a week. That is unpleasant, and it is accompanied by a number of unpleasant symptoms, including hard stools, a sensation of incomplete evacuation, and needing to strain when going to the bathroom. Well, 1,000 people in China in 15 different hospitals had such symptoms. Do you know what they did, Rick?
No.
Well, according to the Annals of Internal Medicine, September 13th, they had electrical-assisted acupuncture. What they did, trained acupuncturists inserted needles at 6 acupuncture points in the abdomen, in the muscle layer of the abdominal wall. How deep do these needles go in? 2.8 inches. After the 6 needles are there, they pass current through attached wires for 30 minutes.
Sounds fun.
I think we've all had needles stuck into our abdomen and electrified for 30 minutes, so it's no big deal. But I was kind of shocked. They also had,
literally.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And this, they also had, and this is the shame of it all, they had sham acupuncture where they just put the needles in and attach some wires.
So wait a minute. So you just get the 2.5-inch deep needle.
Right.
You don't get the electric.
No electricity, and it's in the wrong place. That's the other thing, because you don't want, I mean, they believe these spots actually help. And so they wouldn't dare put even a non-electrical needle in the right place. Now, where is the right place?
Aren't they the size of like a, I mean, aren't they like incredibly, incredibly small?
Yes.
So I mean,
All right. I'll go back to your ghost question. How small does the needle have to be before you don't worry about it? If somebody puts a needle 2.8 inches into my abdomen, still going to be a little concerned. It's a small.
Well, I don't know
needle.
Though, Tony. I got a pretty big abdomen.
You could take 2.5.
I think I might be able to take it.
I don't know. I really don't know. Now, this is the interesting part of it. 8 weeks of
treatment. What? We haven't hit the interesting part?
28 treatments over 8 weeks, electrically stimulated acupuncture needles. One-third of the people in the treatment group moved from 2 bowel movements a week to 3 or more.
They scared it out of them.
I thought when you got scared, you, in fact, did less. You were scared. Never mind.
No.
Need for laxatives. 12.1% in the control group improved. Over 12 weeks of follow-up, 37.7% of the treatment group had a similar level of improvement, 14% of the control group. It seems that if you do that, whatever it does, and I think, although for us, it is strange, it is foreign. It is an accepted treatment in China, and these Chinese patients, I don't think it was all that strange or foreign to them, and it worked. It worked. I mean, if you gave me something that would take a third of my patients from 2 bowel movements a week to 3 or more, and apparently without really significant side effects, I would take it in a heartbeat. Now, what they did, these needles, if you put 3 fingers on either side of your belly button, that was one spot just past that third finger. They put one right over the side of your abdomen, just above your hip bone. And then the third one, although they call it abdominal, the diagrams show that this one is on the front of your shin bone. That's one that apparently controls, my diagrams say, controls the large intestine. So, again, on each side, you've got a needle on either side of the belly button, right above the hip bone and the belly, and also on the shin. If I am reading these acupuncture points correctly, you put electrical current through them for 30 minutes, and your bowels start moving more. What are we going to do with that?
I don't know. I'm not doing anything with it.
Health matters. Have you ever seen acupuncture, Shelley?
Yes, I have.
What circumstances and did it work?
I believe it was for headaches, and the patient believed that it worked.
Which is, again, if you think your headache's better, your headache's better. I mean, if you think your pain is better, your pain's better.
Right.
The needles, I guess, were small. It doesn't hurt to put the needles in, is what I understand. They put them in, and you don't even know they're there, practically.
We should do a study and just tell patients we're going to do that to them, and it might solve the problem.
Just if you don't move your bowels, I'm going to start sticking needles in your stomach and put a current on them. So there, you better straighten up. I don't know. I was fascinated by it. We'll see. I think one of the problems is we tend to hold to the things we understand, be very suspicious of the things we don't. Acupuncture with electrical stimulation seems to have a good effect, at least in the Chinese subjects that they studied, seems to have a good effect on constipation. I thought it was frankly amazing. Speaking of things that are not amazing, we finally got the cancer moonshot. Remember that, Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Cancer moonshot. Now, John F. Kennedy, shortly after election, he said, "We are going to put a man on the moon and bring him back safely." That is a moonshot. That is a bold idea that currently can't be done, but he dedicated, in the next 10 years, we're going to put a man on the moon and bring it back safely. Now, here, then, they thought, in the spirit of that bold prediction, they were going to do a cancer moonshot. And we were trying to figure out, you know, they didn't say, we're going to cure cancer. They didn't say, we're going to safely extend people's life expectancy by 5 years or cut the cancer mortality rates or anything like that. They have 10 recommendations, and these are, I got to tell you, very much less than amazing. They make sense. I want you to know where they are going with their cancer research so you understand this. But honestly, the moonshot, just the more I read it, the more disappointed I am. First of all, 10 recommendations from an expert panel. One, establish a network for direct patient involvement. Engage patients to contribute their comprehensive tumor profile data to expand knowledge. Now, we talk a lot about data. What this means is that instead of us saying, well, we've seen 30 people with this disease, and Kansas has 25, and Arizona has 15, and all that stuff, we're going to put all of our information together so that anywhere you go, you have access to the data about the cancers. So we get a lot more data.
So they're not going to do that otherwise?
Well, you know, it's happening.
I'm trying to make your point. I think we were going to do that anyway.
We were, and they want to speed it up. They want to speed up data sharing, and data is a lot of this. Second, they want to establish an immunotherapy clinical trials network. What that means is we're doing a lot of trying to augment people's immune systems. And that, once again, it's done one center or one university. We need to have networks of universities to try to get enough people to understand whether these things work and how they work. Three, you'll love this one, develop ways to overcome cancer's resistance to therapy.
Hmm.
And so how do you know?
Well, you are going to require that to solve the problem.
I mean, when do you put a check mark beside three? You say, yup, done. I don't know. Four, create a national system for sharing and analyzing cancer data.
Don't we already have that?
Yeah. You know, but honestly, Shelley, I mean, you're listening to these things and you're going, okay, show me the great man on the moon thing. Before John F. Kennedy said it, nobody was going to put a man on the moon. It's not like John Kennedy accelerated the man on the moon. He said, we'll do it, and no one had said that before, and we did it. And that was the moonshot. All right. Five, intensify research on the drivers of childhood cancer. Six, minimize cancer treatment's debilitating side effects. Seven, reduce cancer risk and health disparities. Eight, mine past data to predict future outcomes. That is, nine, just tell anyone, create dynamic three-dimensional maps of human tumor evolution to understand how tumors evolve into metastatic disease. And 10, develop new cancer technologies to characterize tumors and test therapies. This.
Well, 9 and 10 had promise.
Yeah,
I mean, they had the beginning of a thing.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, when you make advances on cancer, you do it by preventing cancer, by changing behaviors. Sharing data, minimizing the side effects of chemotherapy is not the way we're going to save lives. What we'll do, you know, in the state of Kentucky, let's just say it right now, in the state of Kentucky, if we raise our cigarette taxes and enact an indoor smoking ban, we will save eventually hundreds, perhaps thousands of people's lives every single year.
And have a little more money in the coffers.
Right, and we can prevent lung cancer. If we get serious about screening for colorectal cancer, we're number one in the nation in colorectal cancer death. If we get serious about screening, we will save lives. Data sharing is a good idea, but it's not a moonshot, in my opinion. A moonshot would be to say, we're going to, instead of 3,400 Kentuckians dying every year, we're going to get that number down to
Zero.
Or at least 10 or 15. Maybe they work in asbestos or silicosis or whatever. It will take years to do that. But that would be a moonshot, whereas this sharing data is, in my mind, is not a moonshot. But I've said enough about this.
No, you haven't. You know you want to say more. You know that of those 10 things, you want to talk about at least seven more of them.
I am so disappointed with the cancer moonshot, and I am a science guy. But if that's where the research is going, I am saddened by that.
But Tony, they're just as bold as Paul Hitchcock was some 14 years ago when he said, "I want a health show for Morehead State Public Radio, and we will have a health show."
Well,
here we are.
Yeah,
and are we a moonshot?
Boy, that's an interesting question. And I will ask our radio fans, ask yourself, ask your spouse, am I a moonshot?
No, we're on par with these 10 is what I'm saying.
My wife would say, yeah, you're a moonshot. You're a lunatic.
No, I'm just saying we line right up with these 10 things.
Okay.
We
shared
we were going to do it anyway.
We kind of minimized some things.
And, we were going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. A couple of interesting things about cancer, just staying on that for a little bit. This was this was a Swedish National Population Health Registry. 700,000 people with diagnoses of cancer from 1991 to 2009 in Sweden. And they looked at hospital admissions for injuries and people diagnosed with cancer. Now, when you diagnose cancer, there are injuries related to the diagnosis. You do a biopsy and it gets in, you cause a collapsed lung, or it gets infected, or in some cases.
But that's not what we're talking about.
No, that's really
we're talking about traumatic injuries.
Right. We're talking about traumatic injuries, and it turns out that the traumatic injuries double during the diagnostic period. And it starts 4 weeks before they were diagnosed with cancer, and it peaks 2 weeks before diagnosis. And then it sort of tapered off a little bit after they were diagnosed.
So living life, are they?
Well, I think what it is, their argument is you are so scared about the diagnosis. Once you get the diagnosis, then you make your plan. But when you are scared about the diagnosis, you are distracted. You are more prone to falling or injuring yourself in addition to all the biopsies. Now, it could be that you're just going to the doctor a lot, and there's something about the doctor that's going to the doctor that makes you more likely to injure yourself. Especially if you're an older person, you're not doing what you usually do. You're going somewhere different and a different building.
Changing your routine.
Yeah, you change your routine, so maybe that's it. But I think, I guess the way I would look at this, if I had a loved one who was being evaluated for possible cancer, I would recognize they were at higher risk. I would drive that person as much as I could wherever they need to go. I would make sure that they were safe. It is a distracted time. We started this show with, talking about Pokemon Go distractions. Keep in mind, not every distraction is electronic.
Dig, dig, dig.
Yeah. So, in this case, apparently whether you have an electronic distraction or whether your distraction is more related to your mental state, you got to keep in mind that those distractions can lead to accidents. So take care of the people around you if they're being evaluated for cancer, certainly after they're diagnosed, realize they have a higher injury rate. And that's just, that adds injury to insult, I guess you would say.
So do you think the unknowing part does create a stress level or a nervous level that does cause some kind of a physical? I mean, their coordination gets worse or?
Sure.
I mean, you do think it does?
Back to the life-size ghost thing. You know, when you see the ghost in the horror movies, the anticipation is much more than actually seeing it. And I think in that sense, your mind can take you a lot of places before you get the diagnosis.
Right.
And I'm not saying that that's worse than having cancer, because I've not had cancer. I don't know. But I know it can be very distracting when you're always worried about whether you do or don't.
Well, and you probably change your routine and maybe not take your medications like you should. So there's lots of potential things to increase your chance for fall.
Well, they even mentioned, some people are suicidal when they're about the, either about the time they're thinking about being diagnosed, why go on with life? Why continue? And so if you're suicidal, why would you worry about falling down the stairs? I mean, that'd be just another thing for you. Speaking of another thing, we need to let another show go on the air. Rick, can you get us off?
Special thanks to our Morehead State Public Radio producer, Brian Courtney, and to Eric Bilbrey, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org, or just visit us on Facebook. Do a search for HM Radio Show.
for our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thank you so much for listening to our show. And remember,
Health Matters is a health matter. Health Matters is a health radio show for adult males who have low or no testosterone.
It is not known if Health Matters is safe or effective for children younger than 18 years old. Radio shows that are applied to the skin may have different doses, strengths, or application instructions that may lead to different levels of testosterone in your body.
Health Matters can transfer from your body to others. This can happen if other people come into contact with the area where Health Matters was heard.
Unexpected signs of puberty have happened in young children who were accidentally exposed to radio shows through skin-to-skin contact with men using health radio products like Health Matters.
Women and children should avoid contact with the unwashed or unclothed area where Health Matters has been heard. Wash your ears. If a woman or child makes contact with the Health Matters application area, the contact area on the woman or child should be washed well with soap and water right away.
Wash your ears with soap after our show. I really like that. Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week for more exciting health information on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.